All right, I want to welcome everybody to the master's class here at Summit Church, and we are in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, and we're going to be talking about let God sit in the driver's seat. Let God sit in the driver's seat. Man, oh man, oh man, is that something that you struggle to do in your life at times, is let God take control and sit in the driver's seat, huh? Last week we started a message on how to determine God's will for your life. And we said that seeking God's will is something each Christian should be doing on a daily basis. And finding the Lord's will is a result of quiet, careful meditation on the Word of God with a surrendered heart. Amen? Amen? All right. Now, if you wish to know God's will for your life, the very first thing you must do is make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. And then once you've done that, then you must put the Holy Spirit of God in charge of your life. You cannot know the will of God unless you've made the Holy Spirit the president of your life, not just a resident in your heart, but president of your life. And then once you're saved, once you have completely surrendered to the Holy Spirit, the very next thing you must do is to be obedient to the Word of God. You must obey God's commandments. And God knows what's in your heart. He knows whether you're going to be obedient or not. And you know what? He will not reveal His will to you unless you are obedient to His Word. Why would He? Right? If you're not going to be obedient, you're not going to do His will, why in the world would He spend any time revealing His will to you? So now knowing this, you might ask then, well, does God even have a plan for my life? Maybe I don't like His plan for my life. Does God really have a good plan for my life? Well, of course He does. God has a plan for every life and every person who is saved is a creation of God, a new creation created to do good work, which God in eternity past foreordained that we should walk in them. So, we have the Father up above looking down on us, controlling all things. We have the Savior beside us who is guiding our footsteps. And we have the Holy Spirit within us, energizing us to walk in the ways of the Lord. So, why is it that we have so much difficulty knowing what God's will is for our lives? Why is that? We got all three of them. We got God, the Father, looking down on us. We got Jesus guiding us. And we got the Holy Spirit energizing us from within. So, why would it be difficult to know God's will for our lives? Now, that is the question that we're going to try to answer in our message today by giving you four things that you must do to know God's will. And so we started this last week, so I'm going to spend just a little bit of time summarizing it because I know I can't remember what I said 5 minutes ago, let alone last week. I'm just going to get you guys on the same page as I am. So we studied the first of these four things that we must do to know God's will. And we said that it was let God choose the way. Let God choose the way. Now, we all like to be in control of our lives. But if you are to know God's will, then you must let God be the one who chooses your way, not you. You see, finding God's will is not something that you are to figure out in your flesh. It's not a puzzle that we need to figure out. God's not just leaving a trail of breadcrumbs for us to follow. No. Instead, we are called to trust in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Now, I used this paragraph and this saying last week, and I think it is so important for you to understand that I'm going to say it again here this week. If you want to be blessed, to know the Lord Jesus is to love Him. To love Him is to trust Him. To trust Him is to obey Him. To obey Him is to find God's will for your life. and to find God's will for your life is to be blessed. And so number one, you have to let God choose the way. You're not to choose your own way in this world. And then the Lord tells us that we are to lean not unto thine own understanding. Now that doesn't mean that we're not to have understanding. We are to have understanding. We are to have the understanding that comes from the Word of God. And we are to seek wisdom as if we were seeking hidden treasure. Now therefore, as a believer, if you are to determine the will of God for your life, the very first thing you have to do is let God choose the way. Now, I just gave you in 5 minutes what it took me 45 minutes to do last week, all right? So if you want to hear the whole story, the rest of the story about God choosing the way, you got to go back and listen to last week's podcast, all right? But the second thing that you have to do to determine God's will for your life is let God control the way. You got to let God choose the way, but then you've also got to let God control the way. In other words, we are to let God sit in the driver's seat of our lives. And you know, in all the time that my wife and I have been together, I have always been the one who sits in the driver's seat of our vehicle. I know it's a very rare occasion when we're driving in her vehicle and she's taking me to a shop or picking me up from someplace that I let her sit in the driver's seat. And that's not because she's not an excellent driver. She's an absolutely excellent driver. She's actually done some things when, you know, we had a couch fall off of the back of a truck and it was almost ready to hit her, and she was able to stop and get out of the way, and excellent reflexes, does real well. But I choose to be the one that is sitting in the driver's seat whenever we get into the car. Now, that'll raise knots on your head, Curtis. So, there you go. You know, but I do this for the same reason that I open up a car door for her, or I open up doors to buildings for her. It is because I love her and I want to provide for her and protect her. I believe that's my role that God has given me, to love and to protect my wife. Now, it is out of respect for her as a lady and the role that God has given me that I choose to be in that driver's seat as we're going down the road. But now, when it comes to our life together, our married life together, I am not the one in control. God is. My wife and I have chosen to let God sit in the driver's seat of our life. We are yoked together as one with our eyes on God, and He is the one that controls the way. If you're married and you're not yoked together with God, with your, both of your eyes on God pulling in the same direction, you're going to have nothing but friction in your life. Nothing but friction. Then we read verse 6 of chapter 3 of the book of Proverbs. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. So God tells us that after we trust Him, then we must in all thy ways acknowledge Him. That is to put Him first, to acknowledge Him and to let Him be in control. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. You see, you don't surrender to a plan. You don't ask God, well, what's your plan for me? And if I like it, I'll surrender to it. Okay? That's not the way this works. You don't surrender to a plan. You surrender to a person. God's will is not a roadmap. God's will is a relationship. You don't really find the will of God as much as the will of God finds you when you're walking in the Spirit. Jesus is the way. Put Jesus first in your life, and God's will finds you. Now, when we make Jesus the way, that means that in all of our ways, we acknowledge Him. That means that we sign a blank check and give it to God. We sign a contract at the bottom that hasn't been filled out, and we give it to God. You say, here it is, Lord. Here's my life. Do with it what you will. And we say to God, anywhere, anytime, at any cost, my life is yours. Now, that's big time, isn't it? Anywhere, any time, any cost, my life is yours. Now, some of us have the idea that a tenth of our money and a seventh of our time belongs to God. But that's wrong. 100% of our money and all of our time belongs to God. In all our ways, acknowledge Him. In all, not one-tenth, not one-seventh, in all our ways, acknowledge Him. You know, when we're young, we want to be successful in the eyes of the world, so we decide to dedicate ourselves to that goal. I want to be successful. I want to make a lot of money. I want to be the president of whatever company I'm working for. I want to be successful, right? I want to be on Rich and Famous on TV, right? I want to have them come and do videos of my home and this palatial place and so forth and see all the fancy cars that I've got out there in my garage and all that kind of stuff. Isn't that what you want in your life? No? No? Yeah, well, when you're young, yeah, you guys are old enough now, you know better than to have that kind of stuff, right? But when you're young, that's what you want. Now, the last thing we want to do when we're young is to do what? Become a missionary or a pastor or some other type of servant of God. Well, you know, that might make us poor. You know, we might not get rich and famous if we're that, right? But we know that we still need to acknowledge God, so we say things, well, God, I'm going to be successful, and I'm going to make a lot of money, and I'm going to be able to support the work of God with my money. With my money. And then, at the same time, I'll be able to do what I want to do. God, I'll work real hard for you. I'll make a lot of money. And I'll give it to you, at least some of it, God. Yeah. But it's my money, right? Am I starting to hurt your feelings? Yeah, okay. That's good. And a lot of people think that way. It sounds pretty reasonable, doesn't it? If you'll work real hard and give to God, well, why isn't that reasonable? Yeah. You get to do what you want to do. You get to give to God. And everything ought to be right. But God wants you to let Him direct your life. And His plan for you is to be successful in accomplishing the will of God in your life. Success in the world may still occur for you, just like it did with Solomon. But true success is acknowledging God in all our ways. We have to put Jesus first in our life. Now, that's what I mean by signing a blank check. In all thy ways, acknowledging Him. How many times have you guys ever signed a blank check and handed it to somebody? You fill it out, you do whatever you want with it, huh? You have to really trust that person, wouldn't you? You'd have to really, really trust that person. But let me ask you, have you done that with God? Have you signed a blank check for God? Or have you said, well, I'll just give God some of my time and some of my money, and, you know, I'll even go to church, God. I'll even go to church, like I'm doing God some wild favor by going to church. You're not doing God a favor by going to church. Not at all. Ask yourself, is your life totally sold out to God? You see, when you let God choose the way, when you lean not to your own understanding, and you let God control the way, then in all your ways, acknowledge Him. You're on the way. When you do those two things, you're on the way to finding the will of God for your life. If you let God choose the way, and you let God control the way, then you're taking the right steps to start finding the will of God for your life. Now, most of us don't really want to do that. You know, we talk about it a lot. We know what we're supposed to do, but we don't really want to do that. And I'll tell you why. We're afraid to, right? We're afraid to write God a blank check for our life. You say, well, wait a minute. I mean, man, if I were to tell God anywhere, anytime, and at any cost, my life is yours, well, there's just no telling what He'd have me doing, right? Yeah, well, let me tell you that you need to think real hard when you say that. It is a slander on the character of God to say that if you surrender to God, then He's going to make your life miserable. You just insulted God. You say, well, God might send me to the heart of Africa. Listen, if the will of God sends you to the heart of Africa, then that is where you should want to go, because you will never, ever be truly happy living outside the will of God. Let God choose your way, and let God control your life. The Bible says that we are to delight ourselves in the Lord, and then He'll give you the desires of your heart. God works in you both to create the will and the desire to do His good pleasure. It is absolutely a slur on the character of God to say that we cannot trust God. If you are to know the will of God for your life, then you must tell God that He can have your life and that you will go anywhere, anytime, at any cost. Amen? Amen. I'm stepping on toes here this morning already, aren't I? That's okay. That's what I'm here for. Let God choose the way. Trust in Him. Don't lean to your own understanding. Let God control the ways. Or in other words, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Then the third thing that you must do to determine God's will for your life is let God confirm the way. Verse 6 tells us, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and then what? And He will direct your path. And when God chooses your way, and when God controls your way, it follows as night after day that God will confirm the way to you. Now, how is God going to show you what He wants you to do in this year of 2021? Well, I'm going to give you some ways that God will confirm the way to you. First is, God will guide you with His Word. Number one, He's going to direct you by His Word. Psalms 119:105. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, we've already talked about getting into the Word of God so that you can have His understanding, the understanding of the Word of God. But when you talk about determining the will of God for your life, people want to know things like, who shall I marry? Where shall I go to school? What business shall I do? You know, shall I buy this house? Shall I buy this car? They expect God to give them a sign from heaven that they should buy this car or marry this person, and it's almost like you have to guess at the right answer. But there does not have to be any guesses in knowing God's will in your life. You can know for a certainty the will of God in your life. Let me tell you some things that we don't have to guess about that are the will of God for you. And I'm going to mention three things here. And I can tell you beyond a shadow of any doubt, stutter, stammer, apology, equivocation, that these three things are God's will for you. Now, you really want to know the will of God, I'm going to give them to you, and I'm going to give you these three verses that tell you that this is the will of God for you. First of all, it's God's will that you be saved. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants you to be saved. He doesn't want you to die and go to hell. That's God's will for you. You can be absolutely certain with no guesses that God wants you to be saved. Amen? Can you be certain about that? Yeah, amen. All right. Well, let me tell you something else that I know is God's will for you. Not only salvation, but God's will for you is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me give you a couple of verses that tell you this is true. Ephesians 5, 17 through 18. Wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So it is God's will that you be saved. Now I'm going to ask that as a question. Is it God's will that you be saved? Yes, you better say yes, because it is, right? Is it God's will that you be Spirit-filled? You better say yes, because it is. We just read the verse, right? Right there, right? Paul says, don't be unwise. Be wise, understanding what the will of God is. So it's an absolute certainty that God wants you to be Spirit-filled. He wants you to be saved, and He wants you to be Spirit-filled. Now, I'm going to tell you the third thing that you can be absolutely certain is God's will for you. It is God's will for you to be sanctified. To be sanctified. Now, the word sanctified is a big double-jointed word that we don't really use very often. We get kind of scared saying things like sanctified and Holy Spirit and all this kind of stuff, right? I mean, we kind of get nervous around saying that because we'll be viewed as too religious or, you know, one of those crazies out there, right? So, sanctified is just simply meaning that you are to be set aside for the purpose and the service of God. That's all it means. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." So without guessing or theorizing, you can be certain that God's will for your life is that you are to be set aside, and you are to set aside your whole life and everything in your life for the purpose and the service of God. It is God's will that you be sanctified for Him. Okay, you see how simple that is? I've mentioned three things in the Bible that says black print on white paper that these are the will of God for you. Salvation, Spirit-filled life, and sanctification. That comes right out of the Word of God. Is there any question in your mind that that's the will of God for your life? Right? Right? Now, listen to me very carefully. If you'll get saved, if you'll get filled with the Holy Spirit, and if you'll separate yourself to serve the Lord God, then the rest of knowing the will of God is going to be just almost automatic for you. It'll just be almost automatic. Listen, if you get your heart clean and you get your motive clear, then you don't have to be afraid to trust your own mind. You're not going to have to search and question the things that are in your mind. Is this my will or is this God's will? If you're saved, if you're Spirit-filled, and if you've sanctified yourself and set yourself apart from God, you are not going to have to search. And there's not going to be any question in your mind hoping to find the will of God, because God's will is just going to be finding you. It's going to be so simple. Do you think that you have to be afraid to use your own mind to find the will of God? No, you do not. Not if you do these three things. Well, let me say, first of all, if you want to know how God is going to confirm the way, then one way is with the Word. You just pick up the Bible and read it. You know, a man says, you know, I'll pray about whether or not I ought to divorce my wife and marry somebody else. No, you don't have to pray about that. You'd be tempting God when you do that. God has already said, don't do that. Right? You don't have to pray about something that God has clearly said in His Word. You just do it. God directs by His Word. And then God will guide you through prayer. Now, I'll tell you how else God will direct you. When you pray, God will direct you if you will listen in your prayers. If you want this to be true in your life, then you don't say prayers, you pray prayers. Prayer is listening to God as well as talking to God. Let me give you some verses to illustrate the difference between talking in prayer and listening in prayer. Acts 1:24 says, "And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two Thou hast chosen." So now here the disciples were trying to find a successor for Judas, and there's a whole lesson we can teach on this verse right here, okay? But they said, "Lord, we picked these two. And you know everything. You just show us which of these two. Never mind what you might choose, God. We chose these two. Now you show us which two that you want us to go forward with," right? So now here, they were just talking in prayer. They were telling God what to do. Have you ever prayed like that? Have you ever told God what you want Him to do? Oh, my. That's what 90% of our prayers are, right? God, here's what I want. Is it okay if I have it, God? You choose, God. But here's what I want. All right? Yet later in Acts chapter 8, we find an example of Philip listening. chapter 8, verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, now notice who's doing the talking here and who's doing the listening. Go near and join thyself to this chariot. So there's Philip out in Samaria in a revival meeting, and God calls him out of Samaria, out into Gaza, and then God calls him to a specific chariot. Now, how did Philip know this? Well, God is saying in the Spirit, Philip, just go do this. Philip knows this because he's listening to God in prayer. Now, here's another example of listening in prayer. Acts 13, verse 2. And as they ministered to the Lord, they fasted. The Holy Ghost said, look who's talking. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work there whereunto I have called them. Now, how did the Holy Spirit do this? Did he speak audibly to them? Well, he's never spoken audibly to me. He may have spoken to some of y'all audibly, but he's never spoken audibly to me. But I can tell you without a doubt that sometimes when I pray, God the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart. And I can tell you that God the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart. Are you practicing the kind of prayers that listen to God? That listen to God. Through His Word, He will speak. Through prayer, He will speak. God will guide you through prayer. He'll guide you through His Word, and He'll guide you through prayer. Then next, God will guide through His wisdom. James 1, verses 5 through 8 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So James tells us, if you want wisdom, then ask God for wisdom. Now, what is wisdom? We've talked about wisdom for about 8 weeks here now, okay? And we're actually not going to talk a lot about wisdom today, all right? My wife says, I'm getting tired of listening about wisdom. Let's get on to some of these other proverbs, all right? Yeah. So, wisdom's not getting warm around the heart and wet around the lashes and goosebumps and shivers and signs and visions and ecstasies. Wisdom implies a judicious use of your spirit-filled mind. So many Christians are afraid to use their mind. Well, why are you afraid to use your mind? God gave it to you. He tells us that if you'll present yourself to Him, that He'll renew your mind. Well, why would God renew your mind if you're not supposed to use it? If you're just supposed to park it back in the back of your mind or back of your skull, and not use that thing that God has renewed in your mind. He says in Romans chapter 12, 1 through 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Got a brand new mind. You got a brand new renewed mind. Don't be afraid to use it after you've surrendered yourself and filled yourself with the Holy Spirit. And then if you read on in verse 3, God uses the word think three times. And He's talking about how you're going to find the will of God for your life. Now, I'm going to give you a big clue about Bible study. If God says something three times, or uses the word three times, you better pay attention to it, okay? I mean, he's not just doing that for the fun of it. And verse 3 says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So again, you're to get into the Word of God. Make sure that you're saved, spirit-filled, and sanctified. And you begin to pray. And say, Lord, direct me. And then you do what you think you ought to do. Don't wait for a vision. Don't wait for an ecstasy. Just do it. You have a sanctified mind. You have the mind of Christ. That's not being humanistic. It's being deeply spiritual. When you are spirit-filled and praying, you do what you think you ought to do. That's the will of God. You're going to find that God is going to guide you by wisdom. He's going to guide you. It's a sanctified common sense that He gives you. You just make your choice because you're walking in the Spirit. You're walking in the Spirit. That's really important stuff to understand. You're walking in the Spirit and you do what your mind tells you to do. And then next, God will guide you through providence. Now, another way that God is going to guide you is providence. So, listen, even though you think you're in the Scriptures, and even though you're praying, and even though you've asked God for wisdom, there are times when God is just going to step in and open doors and close doors in your life, and He will guide you by providence. Has He done that for you? You guys are old enough. God has obviously had times when He closed doors and opened doors for you, right? Amen? Yeah. Now, He's done that all of my life. You know, I'm here today teaching this class because God closed doors in my life, and then He opened another door. Now, I didn't just one day wake up and say, you know what? Yeah, I'd really like to be a Bible teacher out there at Summit Church. And then walk in and tell the pastor, hey, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a teacher here at Summit Church. I didn't just do that. Yeah, there was a door closed behind me and a door that opened before me to be a Bible study teacher here. Listen, I was teaching a class of 75 to 100 people every Sunday at a church here in town before I came here. I had a great big class. You know what I mean, I was some important dude, right? Yeah. Why in the world would I want to leave that and go start a new church that held its meetings out at Wild West Park? Yeah, that's what we did. We left all that and went out. It was called Wild West Park, wasn't it? It was something like that. It was a entertainment venue that went bankrupt and all kinds of stuff, right? Took a bunch of our money at the same time. But anyway, why would I want to do that? That doesn't make any sense. There's nothing reasonable about that. I did that because God closed that door and He opened another door. And now, let me tell you something. Because I was willing to walk through that door, every day or every Sunday, I teach to thousands of people all around the world. Right? God will guide you through providence. God will guide you. He'll open doors and He'll close doors. Revelation 3:8 tells us, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Now, isn't it wonderful when God opens a door, and no one can shut it? Now, that doesn't mean that there's not going to be any difficulties. Paul said there's an effectual door open to us, and there are many adversaries. And the door to the room of opportunity swings on the hinges of opposition. The door to opportunity swings on the hinges of opposition. The devil doesn't want you to go through an open door. But there are times when God opens a door for you and He says, I've set before you this open door. Nobody can shut it. Now, you can refuse to go through it, but man, you'd be a fool if you did. I'm saying let God choose the way. Don't lean into your own understanding. You let God control the way, and all of your ways acknowledge Him, and you let God confirm the way. And God will confirm that way very clearly and plainly. He will direct your path. He says that He will, and you don't have to worry about it. He will do that for you. And now here's the fourth and final thing I want to say. God will clear the way. God will clear the way. Verse 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. So look again at verse 6 at this, and He says, and He will direct thy path. Now, the word direct has a double meaning. It means to point the way. And it also means to clear the way. It means more than just direction. The New American Standard Version says it this way, He will make your path straight. Now the words, He shall direct thy path or make your path straight, are both translated from a Hebrew word which literally means to clear the way. Now, do you remember the prophecy in Isaiah talking about John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus Christ to come? Chapter 40, verses 3 through 4. It says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain." So that verb, make straight, is translated from the same word here as the word direct in our verses here in Proverbs. And then notice the way Isaiah described it. He says, every valley shall be exalted. That is, if there's a dip in the road, you're to fill it up. And then he says, every mountain shall be made low. That means that if there's a hill, you're to level it off. And then, and the crooked place shall be made straight. And so if there's a curve in the road, take it out. And the rough places shall be made plain. So if there's a boulder in the road, remove it. Make a highway for our God. That was Isaiah, that was God's instruction to John the Baptist for our Lord. Now, that scripture speaks of a divine bulldozer filling valleys, leveling mountains, straightening curves, removing boulders, and it's that same word that is used here when it says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. He will fill your valley. He will remove your mountains. He will straighten out your curves. He will take away the boulders. He will make a super highway for you." You know, when I was much younger, I used to play football. Now, one of the great joys of any football player is to get the ball and have a couple of people out in front of him cutting people down as they're running down the field, right? I mean, you can see that end zone, you can see that opening, and man, you just start running like nothing, right? They're there to clear the path for you, those two people out there, and you just head on down that field just as fast as you can go lickety-split, right? Man, that is a big time. Man, nobody gets to do that a lot, but man, I have done it, but man, I was a whole lot younger today. I couldn't even go lickety-split today if I wanted to, right? So those blockers, they run interference for you. Listen, whether you know it or not, during the times of your life when you're living in the center of God's will, you can rest assured that God has been running interference for you. He will put that ball in your hand and he does the downfield blocking. Or think of it as if you're driving a spiritual car and it is God who is there straightening out the way. It's God who is filling the valleys. It's God who's lopping the mountains. It's God who is taking the curves out and removing the boulders. Why? Because he wants you to get on down the road. Listen, if God were to choose the way, if God were to control the way, if God were to confirm the way, I still need him to clear the way. I need him to clear the way. I mean, how am I going to do the will of God unless God Almighty clears the way for me? He is a God who is able to open doors that no man can shut. And he's the one who can shut doors and no man can open. Amen? Amen. All right. You know, there used to be an old evangelist, and his name was Henry Morehouse. Now, he would always preach on John 3:16. That's what his evangelist crusades were all about, 3:16, John 3:16. And he had a little crippled girl as a daughter in his home. Now, Henry Morehouse would go off on long trips preaching, and he would try to bring presents home. You've done that for your kids, right? Every time I'd traveling for 3 weeks at a time, they'd be looking for presents for me when I got home, right? So one day he brought an especially large present home for his wife who had stayed home taking care of their daughter. Now, the little girl met him at the door, and she walked on crutches when she was outside. But around the house, she'd put those crutches away, and she'd just push herself along on the floor. And she saw her daddy, and they hugged, and they kissed. And she said, "Daddy, what is this?" She sees this big present, right? "Yeah, what is this?" And he said, "Well, it's a present, sweetheart, for Mother." She said, "Oh, let me take it to Mother, Daddy. Can I take it to Mother?" And he said, "Sweetheart, it's too heavy for you. You can't take it." And she said, "Yes, I can. Let me take it to Mother." He said, "No, no, darling." She said, "Daddy, let me take it to Mother." And he looked at her, and she had a twinkle in her eye. And he knew something was up. And he said, okay, dear, here it is. And he put it in her little hand. And she said, now, Daddy, pick me up and carry me to Mama. And so he picked her up, present and all, and brought her to Mama. You know, I felt like that little girl so many times in my life, that God has just picked me up. Said, here's a job that I want you to do. But really, you're not the one that's going to do it at all. I'm the one that's doing it. Listen, we got a brand new day out there in front of us. Each day is a new day in the Lord. And we need to determine what we're going to do with this day and this year. And we need to determine that this year, this day, it's going to be the best year we've ever lived for Jesus Christ. And so I'm so grateful that the Word of God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you let Almighty God choose the way, control the way, confirm the way, and clear the way, what an Almighty God we serve. Amen. Now let me just give you a few very practical pieces of advice, and I want you to think about them. The way to know the will of God for your life is to do the will of God immediately and in all things. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. When I said immediately, don't wait until tomorrow morning. I mean starting right now. Obey the will of God. Do it immediately. In all ways, acknowledge Him. Then number two, obey Him in the small things, then the big ones will take care of themselves. Everything that is big is made up of little things. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. You find that in Luke chapter 16, 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. You know, it's hard to steer a ship that's not moving, right? That means that God can't steer a life that's not moving towards Him. I want to repeat again. The way to know the will of God for your life is to do the will of God immediately and do it in all things. Obey Him in the small things, and then the big ones will take care of themselves. Amen? Amen. Amen.